As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello and welcome to a new Game Notes with Tony Jones and Dave DeFore. I'm Dave DeFore. That's Tony Jones. What's up, Tony?
New Game Notes podcast.
Yeah.
You didn't say it's podcast. Game
we don't,
you
they know said, it's a podcast.
You just said Game
They know
Notes.
It's a podcast.
Nah, man.
Tony, they downloaded it onto their device or laptop or whatever. They know it's a podcast.
They didn't know it was a podcast.
Matter of fact, it's a bit redundant that I even say our names because they know we're on here. They're coming here to listen to you, Tony.
First
so
of all,
welcome.
They came to listen to you. I came to rub your head.
Well, yes, because I'm the only person in this duo with a bald, smooth head, thanks to Harry's razors.
I mean, that's exactly one way to look at it.
Yeah.
You're an expert at this. I really love you for this.
I'm an expert at what?
Just
talking?
The podcast thing.
Oh, you know what? I will take credit for being a good hang. I think I'll just say
don't
that.
Don't ever not be my partner.
Yes. Oh, well, I mean, I'm already trying to get us on a national show. So if Tanika has some pull, you know, we'll find out soon because this will just go national. They'll have to change it to Game Notes National or something since we need to remind everyone this is the Game Notes podcast, right?
I'm just saying, man. Listen, I mean, we were always taught full transparency in journalism.
Again, there's a barrier for entry. They had to download the podcast. They know it's a podcast.
Oh,
now we're getting hung up on semantics here.
Okay.
All right. So, Tony, yesterday was the NBA trade deadline.
Yes, it was.
How was that for you? Was it fun?
I woke up at 7:30 a.m.
with the chickens.
I literally woke up with the chickens yesterday. I had a player agent text that said, yo, put this out there. And then whenever an agent says, put this out there, it's kind of like, okay. You know, so I woke up at 7:30. One of my agents sent me a text and I went to bed at 2:30 a.m. this morning because I spent a couple hours on Madden. In between, I wrote a couple stories. I covered the trade deadline. Alex Jensen stayed in Utah and didn't go to the University of Utah Utes. I took my daughter to a cheer competition. A lot of stuff happened.
Yeah. You must have the nicest wife on the planet. She must be just incredible.
She's incredibly intolerable of me.
I'm sure it really sounds like it. Well, the Jazz did make a trade. They got Matt Thomas. You know, they were kicking the tires on J.J. Redick. So clearly this team felt like it needed, I guess, a little bit extra shooting coming off the bench is my assumption here. You know, Matt Thomas clearly not going to start. And it only cost him a second round pick. So pretty good pickup just for a, you know, 15th man. You need to knock down a shot late in a game or something like that. Maybe there would have been more utility if they'd gotten J.J. Redick. Maybe he would have been able to take on a little bit of a bigger role off the bench. But, you know, do you expect to see Matt Thomas getting rotational minutes at any point?
No. And the reason, you know, Matt Thomas is a long-term play for the Jazz. So, you know, he's probably not going to be in a rotation this year. Might be in the rotation next year, depending on whatever happens to the roster in the offseason. But, you know, just like a continuity play on – you know, the best attribute that they have on their roster. The Jazz are the best shooting roster in the league. They feel like they can't have enough shooters. I just go back to a couple of years ago when the Jazz lost to the Houston Rockets. in the first round of the playoffs because they just could not make a shot from outside of the lane. And, you know, Dennis Lindsay, you know, just sat in the press conference, the getaway press conference for the season, and was just like, we're going to be looking for shooters. Okay, well, what kind of shooters? Just shooters. You know, Dennis, you need a big. You might need a point guard because you might not have Ricky Rubio back. You might need a couple shooters, small forwards or whatever. Well, whatever position these guys play, they need to be able to shoot the ball. And that's just basically what the Jazz have done, you know, ever since that moment was, you know, whether it's a point guard, a shooting guard, small forward, power forward, or whatever, if you can't shoot the basketball, you know, the Jazz are probably not going to be really that interested in you. So that just reminded me, you know, Matt Thomas is just another reminder of that. And, you know, another reminder that he's a guy that, you know, the Jazz call a weapon shooter, which is, you know, he's not somebody that can just knock down a shot, but he's somebody that can knock down shots in droves.
Yeah, and he's going to draw attention, right? Which is
right.
When he plays, and it may not be this year, but when he plays, if this is a guy who develops, when you have guys like this that can shoot it at this level, and especially with the off-ball movement, I mean, there's a reason J.J. Redick has made the money in his career, especially later in his career as he has. There's a reason Kyle Korver was able to hang around on teams that were going for the finals as long as he has. There's a reason why Duncan Robinson has people reevaluating the way that they look at the second round of the draft. And it's because that kind of shooting is pretty rare. And so when it works out and you actually get a player who can contribute, you know, and I don't think Matt Thomas is that guy yet, but if he becomes that guy with that shooting, all of a sudden, Donovan Mitchell gets an uptick. All of a sudden, Rudy Gobert gets an uptick. All these other guys get to benefit from that added space and the threat. And you know, that's the type of guy that they don't really have right now. And even though everyone's shooting the ball pretty well, minus Boyan, I think that having a guy on the bench who you know can knock down a shot, I mean, he may just be a situational shooter, which is what a luxury. You know, we've never seen a team in the playoffs say, oh, we have too much shooting.
Right.
Crap. I wish the end of our bench couldn't shoot. You know, it's just like playmaking. When we talk about like the Nets, oh, there's only one basketball. What are all those amazing basketball players that are so good at creating shots off the dribble going to do? Well, they're going to be able to create shots off the dribble constantly, and you can't stop them. Well, that's one of the beauty, you know, the beauties of having all this shooting is that if one guy is cold, you know you've got guys on the bench who can come in and are likely going to hit shots. So I love the addition. And again, it's a great flyer. It didn't cost you anything. You didn't have to give up anything. And I know how much they love Mieoni. And to me, this was, you know, this deadline where they didn't go out and get an upgrade in those minutes, or they didn't move him out for someone, you know, maybe with a draft asset for an upgrade in the short term. That says a lot to me about how they feel about him. I think that that's an interesting wrinkle in this too.
The thing about it is that the Jazz scanned the market. They did, you know, they did their homework. You know, they looked at potential stuff, you know, involving guys that they feel could come in and defend. And they did not like any of the options better than Mieoni. You know, I know that Mieoni is, you know, he's situational. He doesn't play unless somebody's hurt or in foul trouble. You know, the Jazz really like him, and they really think pretty highly of him. You know, so they just didn't bring anybody in because they didn't think that there were any better options out there in terms of, you know, finding a perimeter defender. And to your point, the two dominant traits that you can never have enough of, you can never have enough shooting, and you can never have enough, at least in the NBA level right now, you can never have enough perimeter defenders. So if you can't have one, and the Jazz obviously couldn't find one, you got to have the other. So that's why they doubled down on the shooting with Matt Thomas. And yeah, you know, the Jazz were really interested in J.J. Redick, but they're hoping that Matt Thomas, for all intents and purposes, can be a younger and less expensive version of J.J. Redick.
Yeah, and down the line, right? Because this isn't a team that has the luxury of being able to only think short term, right? Like, the good franchises in this league are doing both. Utah happens to be in a great position right now to compete for a title this year, but they're not a market like the Lakers. They have to continually think, what are we going to do next year? What's 2 years from now going to look like? And that's what this sort of Matt Thomas move on the margins, you know, this is why Mieoni, finding him, like that found money type of player, is such an important thing for good teams. You know, Rudy Gobert isn't getting cheaper. Neither is Donovan Mitchell. You know, you're going to have some other contracts coming up here soon. And I just think that when you can find guys that are, I'm not going to call Matt Thomas a project because he's not quite a project yet. But you know the one skill that he has that's elite. And that was the hardest one to find. So I think this was a good move for them. Any thoughts as to why they weren't looking to make a bigger move to shake things up? I mean, I know you know number one team in the West, but most teams are always looking to improve. Do you just feel like they really like the core and they didn't want to do anything to disrupt that chemistry?
There was nobody that they could bring in that would – no question, make their top nine without, you know, giving up somebody that they would never give up.
Yeah, right.
So, exactly. I mean, that's basically what that
Donovan
is.
Donovan Mitchell, if you want Aaron Gordon.
So, yeah, if you want Aaron Gordon, you could trade Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
How you get Aaron Gordon. Because you weren't trading Bojan Bogdanovic, because in order to trade Bojan Bogdanovic, you'd have to have somebody trade for Bojan Bogdanovic.
Yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more. I think Bielitsa is like the one guy that did move yesterday that I feel like would be a great fit for this team, but
agreed.
I'd rather have Bojan in the role that he plays for Utah than Bielitsa.
But if you have Bielitsa, the role that he would take is George Niang.
Exactly.
You know, and the Jazz weren't going to do that either.
And the difference is that Bielitsa can actually defend. Like, he would actually plug right into this defense and add something that they're kind of missing, which is, you know, a tweener sort of big who can kind of guard on the wing, but also knock down shots coming off the bench. So I think Miami did a great job picking him up. But we're talking Utah. Another thing I want to talk about. You wrote a great story about the ultimate Rudy Gobert game. And it was, you know, it was the game where he had 21, 10 rebounds and 9 blocks against the Bulls. And to me, that was a game that it felt like Utah straightened out their issues. And whatever had been happening defensively, it certainly seems like there was a moment before this game where Rudy was just like, look, we're not doing this anymore. We got to fix these problems. And Rudy was incredible. Why did the Bulls keep going at him?
You're a basketball player. You know, you're competitive. You're going
to. The goal is to score. You're not. Rudy's shutting you down. I'm sorry.
Like, you're conditioned to still go into the paint.
Foolish pride.
Listen.
Rudy Gobert's out there. You better shoot those threes.
As a basketball player, when I was a basketball player at a competitive level, I had a lot of foolish pride. I'll tell you a story. My senior year, we were playing in the Sunny Hill League, and Rasheed Wallace had just finished up his freshman year at North Carolina. And my team played. I was playing in the college division, and we were playing against Rasheed. And, you know, I went to the basket like 5 times in the first half, and Rasheed tossed my finish pretty much every time, you know, just talking junk, everything. And at halftime, my coach, who's the great John Hardnett, who's passed away, look him up. He's one of the legends of Philly basketball. I played for Hardnett for 3 years. And, you know, and he said, guys, we're getting killed out there, yada, yada, yada. And he was like, you know, but, yo, at least the guards have a lot of heart. And he was looking at me. He was like, at least the guards have a lot of heart. You know, they're going to the basket. And then under the breath, he was like, they're getting that shit tossed, but at least they're going. So I know.
It's like,
so
hey, you're dumb, but you got heart.
That was exactly what he was right. saying. He's like, yo, you're dumb. Stop doing this. But hey, at least you're going. You know, we were getting crushed by like 20. I mean, so that's it was like a backhanded compliment. But that's the point. Like,
well,
that's
also
what they were doing.
Different world back then, too.
It was the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a
different
team.
I got taking a transition three. Yeah. So it's a different thing. Look, we got to be smarter, right? It's the NBA. Rudy Gobert is out there having the defensive game of his life. Like, he was so locked in. And to be fair to the rest of the team, they were doing an excellent job of cutting off attacking angles that would allow Gobert to miss out on the play. So they were putting Gobert, and this is where the bread and butter for Utah's defense is during the regular season, is when all those guys are pulling that one rope and funneling directly to Gobert, and he gets to clean up. And it makes him look amazing. But the truth of the matter is, if he wasn't as skilled as he is, it wouldn't work.
The thing with Rudy this year, he's playing at a career high level, and I don't think it's close. As good as Rudy has been in previous seasons, he's never been as good as he is now. He is legitimately just insane this year. And the difference this year from previous years is he's been able to come up with that signature game. Jazz's defense before that Chicago Bulls game was just not good. But Rudy basically came up with the "we're not going to take this anymore" game. And I don't think I've ever seen him be able to do that, which is basically just put the entire team on his back and will this team to a win when they really needed a win, or they really needed a good win. And Chicago was a good win. I keep saying it, but I just, you know, as somebody who covers Rudy Gobert and somebody who sees him every night, I just wish that he got his flowers. And I don't say this as a fan. I say this as a fan of basketball in general, because he's just as unique a player as I've seen in a long time. And he's just really, really good.
I mean, basketball is art, so it's open to interpretation, right? And so I can understand novices not understanding the impact that Rudy has night in and night out on both sides of the ball. I can completely understand that. The truth is, though, this guy is the best at what he does in the league.
Yeah.
Now, what he does, I mean, it's not versatile, and that's an issue. And I think you brought it up in your column where you talked about this. It needs to happen in the playoffs. He needs to be able to have nights like this in the playoffs. But the rest of that Utah Jazz team needs to make it so he can have nights like this. The shooting has to maintain in the playoffs. You know, there's a fallacy about Rudy Gobert in the playoffs. He doesn't get played off the court on the defensive end.
Yeah, that's a fallacy.
He gets played off the court on the offensive end. They have to go smaller and add shooting. And that's why he gets, quote unquote, played off the court. He plays roughly the same number of minutes.
I think that Rudy's challenge is, I mean, he knows that he has a lot of proving to do. And
yeah,
that's basically the thing. I mean, he knows that no matter what he's doing right now, he knows that it's just not going to count until he does it at the playoffs.
Yep. All right, let's do our picks. Last week, we were both 2-2. We both somehow missed the Wizards game. I think Utah actually missed the Wizards game too. And then They went 3-1 on the week. They lost to the Wizards, and then they beat everyone else. The Nets, I thought they were going to lose, but everybody's out for the Nets, so a little bit of an easier game for Utah. Now, the next week, this and I want you to walk me through this, because you're covering this team so closely, and you've seen how they've performed in back-to-backs. I mean, I'm just looking at a couple weeks ago, they played the Clippers back-to-back. They won the first game, lost the second one. They blew the Clippers out in the first game, but there was no Kawhi or Paul George. So we're looking at a week where they're going to play the Grizzlies back-to-back. Then they play the Cavs, and then they play the Grizzlies again. I don't even know how to pick this week, Tony. It's very weird that you'll have a team play another team three times in 5 days. Feels more like a playoff series than the regular season.
It's going to be really hard for the Jazz to win all three of these games.
Yeah. I think they're going to drop one.
I'm going to pick them to win all three of these games.
Against the Grizzlies?
I'm going to pick the Jazz to go 4-0 this week.
All right. Okay. I mean, I think the 3-1 is a no-brainer to me, but I worry about the trap game of the back-to-back. I just think, you know, the NBA, like, the talent is so good that even the Grizzlies, who aren't as good as the Jazz, can beat the Grizzlies on any given night, but in particular, on the second night of a back-to-back.
I think if the Jazz are going to lose one, it's going to be in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to, for the sake of, I need to get ahead of you. Am I behind a game, or am I?
No, we're tied.
Like
we're both 25-14.
I need to pull ahead of this. This is just madness and silly that we're treading water from week to week. I need to pull ahead in my quest for Roos Chris. So I'm picking the Jazz to win all four games this week.
All right, I've got them dropping that second game to the Grizzlies. I just think it's a trap game. Not necessarily for them, but by the schedule. If you play the same team two nights in a row, I just think that second one, even like they could blow them out in the first game. I think that second one is just always tougher. You know, the scout catches up and you just get more used to the team's tendencies. Yeah, so I think they're going to go 3-1. You've got them 4-0. So we might get some separation this week, Tony.
I'm just saying right now, listen, I'm feeling myself, number one, because Tony Bradley just had 18-11 or 20-11 in Philly. Now, he got traded the next day.
Yeah. They had to make room for Paul Reed, man.
Oh, my God. You just put this in the proper context. Like, my man had 20-10, and then they traded him to make room for Paul Reed.
That's right. That's right. B-ball Paul, man. You gotta get minutes for that guy. Because you need to know who he is. But yeah, Tony, I think you know who he is.
Goodness gracious.
All right. So you're going to lose this week, and I'm going to be ahead in our stake battle. This is going to be great. I'm looking forward to taking the lead. Tony, you got any big stories coming up in the next week?
Grinding as usual. I got some big stuff down the line that's going to be monstrous. I'm working on it.
Okay. Well, I'm excited, Tony. You know, I read all your stuff because I have to. It's in my contract. So that's going to do it for this week's Game Notes podcast.
We're just going to end this podcast on this backhanded compliment.
Yes, we are. For Tony Jones, I'm Dave DeFore, and we'll talk to you next week on the Game Notes podcast. It's a podcast.